This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
This is Brightside Home Theater.
Hey, home theater nerds, welcome to the Brightside Home Theater Podcast, the podcast that focuses on the experiences we have in our theaters. I break down the movies, but I break down these movies for how much fun they are to listen to, how much fun they are to watch, how much fun we have analyzing the little things as the movie washes over you, not the nitty gritty, the digital bits and all of that. Just the actual experience of sitting there in your theater / living room or wherever you take in your movies, just the experiences of them. And I'll mention that again. I'm still evolving. A year and a half now, almost a year and a half I've been doing this. I'm still evolving, still trying to figure out exactly what I do here. My name's DJ. You can reach me on Twitter. Let's see, I'll pull up my thing for YouTube. So you can reach me on Twitter at BrightsideHT, or you can email me at BrightsideHomeTheater@gmail.com. And of course, you could talk to us directly at BrightsideHomeTheater.com. Underneath all of the shows, all of the featured theaters, there's place for comments. Please leave comments under those featured theaters, as I say every week. People work really hard on these, and they love to get input and compliments and suggestions, all of that great stuff. So I really appreciate that. And I'm on YouTube now, so please, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button down below. Really appreciate that. That's how you grow. That's how, like, you, I don't know. I put out a video last week on YouTube and on how to make four-way masking. And I'm really excited because it's the first time that I got, what the heck do you call it? They sent me a notification because a copyright infringement. It didn't get taken down. It just means I can't make any money with that video. You know, and the money's just rolling in on YouTube. So I'm really upset about that. I don't make any money at that anyways. I just do it for fun. And I don't know why it got that either, because I did use the trailer twice, but I made sure when I was putting out these videos, I'm like, I can use the trailers. I'm like, all of the legal stuff would be like, people would prefer you put out their product. It's a trailer. It's advertisement. So there you go. So I did play the trailer twice, the Snyder Cut, in that video. And I don't know, maybe that's what flagged it. But last week's video didn't get flagged, which had Lord of the Rings trailer in it. So I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, so that's where you can find me. And you can please go to YouTube and hit subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything to hit subscribe on YouTube, and it helps me build my brand. So thank you very much. And speaking of building our brand, I'm on Patreon now. And all you have to do is go to Patreon, search Brightside Home Theater. You can even misspell theater and it'll still come up, because I've done that many times. I type too fast. Incorrectly, by the way. But you just go there, hit Brightside Home Theater. You can find me there, or you can go to my website, hit the little red button on how to donate. And you can give a $1 a month minimum, all the way up to infinity. That would be fantastic. But any amount is greatly appreciated. Absolutely not required. Completely understand. I appreciate all my listeners. I get feedback from people. I love the feedback. I love that. But if you'd like to support me monetarily, here's how you can do it. And this week I have a new Patreon supporter. His name's Craig C. And that brings me up to 12. So thank you, Craig C. Really appreciate that donation, that monthly donation. And all 12 of my patrons, I really appreciate it. We're growing fast. And believe me, the money is going to use. I spend way over and above. I think I figured out, because I'm always learning. My wife was just laughing at me, because when I learn something and I get it down pat, I move on to something else. And I was saying that I was getting about 41 cents an hour doing this podcast. And then I've got more and more patrons, but now I'm taking on more video editing and doing more fun stuff like that. And I'm up to I was up to almost $2, but now I'm working even more on the podcast. So now I'm back down to about $1.11 an hour per month. So that's good, though. I'm really enjoying it, and it's driving me, and I'm having a lot of fun. So thank you to all my patrons and all my listeners. I really appreciate it. You guys drive me. I'm having so much fun with this, more fun than I ever thought I'd have with home theater. And speaking of driving me, Twitter. I have a bunch of new Twitter followers this week. This week we had Deciphered 13, Channel Box TV, DTS File, Bantu Doug, Ray Smith, Alex San, and You Want That 4K. That's how he spelt it. The first time I read it, I was like, You Want That 4K? But then I realized he put an exclamation point in his name. So it's You Want That 4K. And it is that for the audio listeners that aren't seeing this on YouTube. He did spell it You Want The THA 4K. Exclamation point. And yeah, I want that 4K. I love 4K, having a blast with it. So thank you to all my Twitter followers, having a blast with that. All the comments I get back and forth, the conversations that we have, the likes, the retweets, everything like that. That's the best place to have the conversation. A lot of people think Twitter isn't a great place. They think it's a cesspool, but it's what you make it. And the followers that I have and the people that I've followed, I have nothing but a great experience with it. I have two Twitter handles. I have this one and I have my Brightside Chat one for comics. And all of the people are great in both of them. And everybody, just, you got to know people's opinions. It's their opinion. They have the right to that. And I appreciate everybody's opinion. And we have a blast with it. So let's move along. I'll talk more about Twitter followers next week. But everybody, all the Twitter followers, thank you for joining. Take a look around. Have a good time. All right, movies and scenes this week. We have one movie this week, and it is, let's see, let's bring it up here. Terminator Genisys, brought to us from Paul Stewart. And he has a couple of scenes that he'd like to talk about, and at the 1 hour 20-ish mark. He just sent this in today, got it in under the wire. And I actually wanted to go and find the scene myself, but I ended up working longer today and I wanted to get this podcast done. So I just came on and I'll tell you what he described, but I can't wait to check these out myself because I'm a huge Terminator fan, love all the movies. So at the 1 hour 20-ish mark, Paul says, yellow bus on bridge, loud chase scene, but a Terminator lands on the roof of the bus and the height channels are used to give the effect of something walking around on the metal bus roof above you. You can feel the metal denting as something walks on it, reminded me a lot of A Quiet Place. The bus then crashes and rolls over several times, combining great Atmos and deep bass. That's one scene. The next scene he put is at the 1 hour 40-ish mark, punching with magnets. Arnie is fighting a new style Terminator, but for reasons that are explained in the film, he has magnets on his hands. Each time he connects with a punch, the bass sinks to seismic levels, makes me want an SVS SB 1000 Pro now. So that was nice. Paul got his little SVS Pro plug in there. You get a little bit deeper with the SVS Pro. Even at the SB 1000 Pro, get a little bit more extension there down below. And yeah, you'll feel it maybe a little bit more. Two great scenes. This is great. Great job, Paul. It doesn't matter that it's 1 hour. We love these movies, so you don't have to be exact. I just do it because that's how I, when I'm stamping the movies, I just stamp them at a certain time. I set a stopwatch on my phone and I just grab it when I want. I screen grab it. So that's why I'm a little bit more particular, but this is great because we'll get to those scenes, no problem. And anybody, you guys want to send in movies and scenes in particular, this would be a blast. I'd love to get a bunch of these a week. So send them in, send your description. I'll read them and we'll have fun. More stuff for us to look at, enjoy in our theaters. All right, let's move along to listener comments. First and foremost, I want to thank Theo for bringing the audio snafu to my attention in last week's YouTube video. Thank you, Theo. He did the typical manager thing that you start with a good thing, come in with the bad thing, and then end with a good thing. So he came in, he DM'd me on on Twitter, and he said, I'm loving your YouTube. You're doing good. And he's been a longtime follower. He's been around for a while, and he's been trying to push me into videos and push me in different directions. And thank you. A bunch of you have done that, and that's why I'm doing them now. But anyways, he complimented me. He goes, you're doing great. You're doing that. And he goes, I don't even mind, or something like that. I don't mind a little audio mistake you had with the trailer in the middle. And I was like, uh-oh. And I went, I don't know why, but the audio slid because I improved the audio on the trailer and it slid. And somehow it was perfect before, but somehow it slid. So I went back and fixed it. But then he ended it and he's like, keep doing what you're doing. You're awesome. Thank you. It is like the typical manager thing. When you go into your manager's office and if he hits you with a compliment, you know something bad's going to come. And then he ends it with, that's the way you're supposed to do it to lessen the blow. Management 101. But thank you, Theo. You did it perfectly. You could just tell me you made a mistake. Ah! So I went and fixed it. And that's why there are two YouTube videos for Lord of the Rings Two Towers. And it says audio fixed or what I fixed audio. I think I labeled the second one. So, but yeah, anybody, if I make mistakes in the audio, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to let me know if things don't seem to match up right. I've done it in my podcast all the time. I can fix the audio and put it out and then it's just literally gone. You don't have to double produce like I did on YouTube. YouTube doesn't allow you to do that. I know Vimeo, I think it's Vimeo. Vimeo does. If you make a mistake, you can re-upload and you don't lose that video. On YouTube, you lose everything. If I took that down, or I'd have to replace it. So, all right. Moving along. Thanks again, Theo. Moving along here. That's not the video that I wanted to bring up first. Okay, we'll talk about that one. See, we'll just roll with the punches. This is a Carl's email about a buried TV. This will be this won't be in the show notes. It was Instagram, but check out this picture on YouTube. It's a TV it's one of those TVs that we talked about a couple weeks ago. The, I can't remember the name of it. The C whatever screen, but it's a 165 inch screen that comes up out of your floor. Well, here somebody put one like down in Aruba or something. They buried it in the ground and it comes up out of the ground. And if you go on YouTube, you can see it, the picture that I put up there, and it is awesome. But I replied to Carl. I was like, yeah, this ought to be great in my my New England backyard in the middle of the winter, 165 inch TV buried below the snow. So I don't think that's happening up here, especially at $400,000. I got better places to bury $400,000. All right, let's see. Let's play him by the seat of our pants here. Let's see what we got next here. Oh, IndieWire. Anyone who claims to know the future of movie theaters is wrong. It is. And it's a great article. This one will be in the show notes. This article here, it basically is saying that it's telling you about all the inconsistencies. It's like people saying, oh, the theaters aren't going to open again. But then other people say, but they really want to. And this, nobody knows. Just like anything that's going on with COVID, nobody knows. So the future of movie theaters, we don't know. I have another article coming up in a minute that'll tell you that they're going to thrive. So it's a good article. I really enjoyed it. Thanks, Carl. And the next one. Oh, here we go. This one is at Brightside HT from BJ Horton. I have watched a little bit of Lord of the Rings now that I got the 4K HDR. Love it. I almost never listen near reference level, but got close to it now. I'm hearing Bilbo's fireplace crackle. Given I don't like to listen to it loudly, should I boost surround and subs? Have you? And I replied to him, I'm like, I don't. Okay, so once I calibrate my room, I don't boost anything. I like to know that I'm listening at reference level. And what he was asking here is I was assuming that he was listening at, like, he had done the Odyssey and he's running Odyssey EQ and all of that. And then he still would like to boost it a little more. And a lot of people do. I know, like, people want to know that their back speaker, their rear speakers or side speakers, their surround speakers are there. So they like a little extra punch. And then even Atmos speakers, people want to know those are working, so they'll give it a little bit more. So that's where I base my answer. But then Rob from AV Rant chimed in, and he was saying that he goes, run, you know, Odyssey, get it right, and then engage Odyssey EQ, and that should bump up your rear speakers at lower volumes. And he's absolutely right. I didn't even think you weren't running that. So we're both right there. Thanks to Rob for step. I'm more about the environment, you know, and I want that environment. And if you want your environment to have a little more engagement in the rear channels and in the overheads, there's nothing wrong with bumping those up yourself. I mean, there are theaters. Everybody's room is different. And even after Odyssey EQ, if you don't think Odyssey EQ is bumping it up enough for you, then bump it up yourself. But I always like to keep it at reference and stay there and then go back to that if I make any other changes, because then at least you don't get too far off of what was intended. So I've been doing this for over 30 years and I've had them bumped up. I've had them bumped down. I've listened in all different ways. Depends on the movie sometimes, but just have fun with it. There's no wrong answer. If you're enjoying it, you're having fun. All right, let's see what we got coming up next. All right, maybe everyone wants to go back to the movie theaters after all. This is an article from The Ringer. This one here is, they're talking about what was going on over in China right now. And they said over the past month, Hi Mom and Detective Chinatown 3 have set major box office records in China, outpacing even Avengers Endgame. And the boom may be a sign of things to come stateside. So they're saying like these movies weren't supposed to do that well, but people are so excited to go back. And I think this is just a sign of like, here come the roaring 20s people. When we're allowed back in the theaters, and that gets back into what we were saying before about the article that where it's like we don't know what's going to happen, and we don't. But people like to go out. People like to be with people. And like I said a couple weeks ago about an article, we want to watch these movies with other people and have the roar of the crowd, have the laughter, enjoy everything, the cheers and all of that. So we don't know. And judging by what's going on like in China right now, people are very excited to get back to the theaters. And I would expect much of the same here because I know I am. I mean, I've been back, but I'm excited to have full theaters. As all the horror stories you say, it's still fun enjoying like that big blockbuster come May and with a packed theater late at night or whatever. So, all right, next one. Let's see what we have next. I love this one. I found this one. Cord cutters. Over 25% of YouTube subscribers watch mainly on the big screen. Huh? I was shocked. This is news that over 25, and that's up 20% from the previous year or month or whatever, but they're excited that over 25% are watching it on the big screen. And when they say big screen, they mean television, just any television. And that to me, I'm like, that's hysterical, because what we're basically saying is like everybody's over 75% of the population is watching all of this YouTube content on their phones or tablets. And here we are, I'm in my theater watching these movies and we're talking about Atmos and 4K and surround sound and all of this great stuff that Netflix is doing. And most people on YouTube are doing 25% on their phones and YouTube's trying to get there. It's like people need to be doing, you know, you can do so much more with this, and they're excited to be at 25%. It's just crazy. Just crazy. All right, let's get to the next one, see what we have up next. John Z at Johnny Speakers on Twitter, at Brightside HT. Thanks, DJ, for sharing the great video on the DIY masking. Going to pick materials today. Thanks, John. Really appreciate that. Appreciate the support. That took a lot of work. It was a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into that video. Because I'm not prepared on how to make videos like that. And it was quite the learning process, but I had a lot of fun doing it. I love my masking. I love that I have that masking all set up, ready to go for the Snyder Cut. I can't recommend it enough, that masking. I put in some videos and pictures of before and after with and without the masking, and those don't do it justice. Seeing it in person, it makes such a big difference, and it adds so much more to the environment of actually watching a movie. it really does. When you don't have to, when you don't have those black bars on a projector that are really kind of just really dark gray bars, even with the best projector, it makes a big difference when you just cover that with black velvet. So thanks, John. All right. That's it. I know I missed a couple here. Let's see. Anyone who, I know, let me see. I'll find it here. There was one that, a picture that didn't make it in it, and it was from Mark V. At Brightside HT, yo DJ, didn't get a chance to say thank you to you and Tom for your Snyder Cut podcast. It was fun and informative. I am proud to say that I am now a member of the 3-Hour Club. LOL. There you go. Now there's a 3-Hour Club. Take that, AV Rant. You come on my podcast, you have a couple of drinks, and he can go 3 hours, and we literally killed his computer. We were done recording the podcast. Him and I were talking. We're just having a good time. And he's like, oh, no. He looks down and he goes, I think my computer's going to die. I go, oh, it's not. No, I never plug my computer. It could. Gone. He was gone. That was it. So we texted each other, said thank you. We had a great time. Definitely he's coming back. We had so much fun. So we'll be doing that again. So thank you for that. All right, let's get to this week's featured theater. And this week, we don't have one. And that's okay. It's quite the podcast with as it is. It's going to be long. So featured theater, if you'd like to have your theater featured, you can email me at brightsidehometheater@gmail.com. Send me a description of your theater, any pictures. It could be one picture. It could be a bunch of pictures. We'll post them on the website. I'll talk about it. And as you notice, when I feature a theater, if I have somebody on, an expert in gear, it we'll talk about that. We'll really get into the gear if I happen to have somebody on at the time. But if not, I like to look at, and if you look at all of the theaters on my website, it's the environment, and look at all of the different environments. And obviously that's what I'm about. That's what this podcast is about. It's the environment. And I love to talk about people's environments because everybody has different tastes. We all love the movies, but then check out what we got. We got some that are just, it's like a single picture of a living room and it's looking at the screen, and that's awesome. I have one that's fantastic. It's just, it's a complete theater in the middle of a living room with a video game system. That's awesome. We have some dedicated theaters, but check out all the different environments, and it makes you want to pluck ideas from there for yourself. Like I've done a few. It's like we have like Steve George's. He's got that gorgeous media closet or whatever, meticulously done. I mean, it's awesome. I want to do that. I have a Zapiti because of, I had two listeners in a row, never heard of the Zapiti, and then two listeners in a row, back-to-back podcasts of doing a Zapiti, and I couldn't believe it. And it's like, and now I have a Zapiti, so who knows? And that's why I have a Synology, too. So thank you, you guys. Really appreciate that. And if you'd like to have your theater featured, not featured theater, your theater featured, just email me. And now we'll get to that. All right. Right here. Now I'd like to mention the Snyder Cut. The Snyder Cut came out yesterday. Boom. There we go. Check it out. New graphic for this. This deserved it. Totally deserved it. Had an absolute blast watching the Snyder Cut. Justice League, Zack Snyder's Justice League. I have so much to say, so much that I could talk about. I'm dying to talk about this with somebody. So I'm going to spoil I'm just kidding. I'm not going to spoil anything. From a home theater perspective, it was incredible, for a streaming service. HBO Max, I did it through my Apple TV, 4K. And as I tweeted out, I said I had to up it to plus 5 dB, and I didn't put a SPL meter on it. I didn't put my SPL meter on it. I felt like that was at the right point. I almost got up to get my SPL meter, but I was like, you know what? No, I'm not going to do it. It's not. I'm too absorbed in this movie. Let's just have some fun with it. And I just sat and absorbed this entire 4 hour. I took a couple bathroom breaks. There are some nice title pages so that you can hit pause and run to the bathroom or whatever. But it's a completely different movie. I was on the edge of my seat at the end of the movie, like, where are they going to go next? What is going to happen? Lots to take in, especially knowing the other movie. But obviously you'll see scenes that are similar that you saw before, but so much more development, so much more engagement, so much more knowledge brought to each character. The depth that they pulled out of each character was really, really well done. I thought was really well done. Just thinking of every single character and, like I said, spoilers, you'll feel so much different about every character in this entire movie. I want to make a statement that I think this is, I'm trying to think of some, I know, recency bias, literally just walked out of the theater, but I feel like, tell me if I'm wrong, is this not the biggest streaming event ever? I can't think of anything bigger. The only thing that I would rival this to would be the end of The Mandalorian season 2 in that scene. I don't want to ruin that for anybody either, but that's just one scene, but that sent shockwaves. I feel like as a comic book fan, as a movie fan, as a home theater fan, I feel like this is an event that I don't know if we'll have another thing like this. Think of another movie that by the time all is said and done that we're going to look back at and go, wow, this, you know, how much has changed and what transpired, why this happened. And you had to take it in. I feel like this is an event that is unequaled, unparalleled. So I felt, and it was that good. I don't know if it's the greatest movie ever. It took 4 hours to do this, but they used every single minute and you were engaged the entire time. I'll know probably by next week about rewatchability, how much fun that is. Again, this is a lot of recency bias. I understand that. But like I said, as a home theater fan, I cannot wait for this to come out on physical media and get the 4K version. There's a lot of stuff in here where there's a lot of like smoke and atmospheric effects that I think in the 4K version with the proper HDR uncompressed is going to bring a whole nother dynamic to this movie. Same with the sound. Like I said, I was at +5 dB and I thought it was a very engaging soundtrack. A lot of overhead stuff. Not a lot of overhead stuff. When I mean discrete overhead, I mean there is one particular scene I'm thinking of that I'll talk about maybe next week if I want to talk spoilers. But there is a really cool overhead, discrete overhead channels. And I really liked that, but they definitely use the overheads throughout this movie for ambience, for everything, for pans, really a lot of fun, bringing scenes in from the back corners into the front and back and forth, and the bass, a lot of nice bass rumble. And for streaming, I felt it. I wasn't kidding when I tweeted it at +5 dB. It was pretty visceral. There were some nice vibrations in the room. I mean, nothing like you get with physical media, not the full punches and not the full vibrations, but probably one of the strongest, streaming. And again, I was at +5 and I really wanted to enjoy this. And I mean, we're already hampered. So why not mess around with your stuff? Why not mess around with some settings? Really, really enjoyed it. Can't recommend it enough. A lot of fun. I don't know what else to say. Speechless. I want to get back at it. My son hasn't seen it yet. He had to work today. So I'm going to watch it again with him. I'm hoping my buddy John from Brightside Chat podcast, maybe I'll watch it with him. He's in Texas, but maybe we'll do a, texting back and forth with each other. But wow, what a lot of fun. So that'll do it for the Snyder Cut for now. I mean, I had a blast with it yesterday. I'll really break it down when it comes out on disc. I don't know. Maybe I'll do the same thing I did with Lord of the Rings, or I'm doing with Lord of the Rings. Snyder Cut has 6 parts. So maybe I'll do a part. I'll review a part at a time, a chapter at a time. Who knows? All right, let's get to this week's featured movie. And this week we have Atomic Blonde in 4K, and we'll play the trailer and we'll talk about it. I really enjoyed this movie, really enjoyed this trailer. So let's get right to that, and we'll pick it up on the other side.
I chose this life, and someday it's going to get me killed. But not today.
Lorraine Broughton, expert in intelligence collection and hand-to-hand combat.
Agent Gascoigne was killed last night. Did you know him?
Enough to say hello.
He had an atomic bomb of information. Find out who's hunting our operatives and trust no one.
David Persons, your contact.
Welcome to Berlin. I'm David.
Don't shoot. I've got your shoe. You're
wrong. That was me from the moment my feet touched the ground.
This was never part of the plan.
It was part of mine.
I've lost the target.
What do you know about this woman who's been following me?
You look like you need saving.
So you made contact with the French operative?
Obviously.
The clock is ticking, and everyone you get close to ends up dead.
Someone set me up. Someone from the inside. Now, this only ends one way. A bullet. Ready for action.
God, I think I love you.
That's too bad.
All right, let's get into this. I've been dying to do this movie for a long time. Saw this movie in the theater with my wife when it came out. We actually went to one of those theaters where you could sit down and order food, and they brought you, it was like being at a sporting event. They brought you food while you were watching the movie in the dark. You had little tables set up and everything. It was a pretty cool experience, but where I like to see a movie and experience the surround sound and the picture, it's not really that kind of environment. And this movie really isn't a movie you'd want to be sitting there eating and talking to somebody else, because there is a lot to pay attention to in this movie. And there's a lot going on. There's a lot of little nuances and a lot of fun special effects that we'll get to. And I kind of lost that when I saw it in the theater. But then when I got it home, I was able to obviously experience everything and at a whole different level, because I wasn't distracted by the waitress. I wasn't distracted by other people around me eating and everything. And I could really get absorbed into this movie. And this movie really does deserve to get absorbed into it. It's one of those that you really have to pay attention, because by the end of it, you get a lot more out of it. And when you watch it a second time, you'll see stuff that pays off later, and you'll be like, "Ooh, that actually means something." And I really enjoy this movie. It's like, it's John Wick and Jason Bourne, only clearly better looking. I mean, Charlize Theron is so much better looking than either of them. And it's a better story than John Wick too, I think. I love John Wick. John Wick has, you know, great action. It's basically just, you know, a guy's movie where people just shooting everybody and lots of action, lots of fun. But this has that. Plus it has like the thriller slash intrigue of a Jason Bourne movie and a pretty interesting story that pays off in one film. I'd like to see more. Don't know how they're going to incorporate. I've heard lots of rumors that they're going to incorporate Atomic Blonde and John Wick together, but this movie takes place in the 80s, and how they're going to mix and match those two, she would have to have aged, or maybe they do it comic book style and she doesn't age and she just gets to meet up with John Wick. And I'm all for that. I think it would be great. The picture in this movie, absolutely gorgeous. The 4K version, absolutely awesome. I'll be honest with you, I never watched the 1080p, so I can't really compare the two. I just watched the 4K version, and it is really, really nice. It's sometimes you don't have to watch the 1080p to be able to say, watching the 4K, like, oh, I don't see an improvement here, because the picture wouldn't be as good. But it is really good. I mean, I'm coming off of watching Lord of the Rings last week, and this, while it's not Lord of the Rings quality, because it's a different kind of movie for picture wise, there's so many great colors in this. I mean, and there's a contrast in two different scenes that I'll get to when we do the scenes that really pays off, I think, because of the 4K and the HDR. But tons of neon, very clean picture, tons of detail. And the 80s, like I said, the neon of the 80s really pays off here. And it's, there's a really fun extended shot scene that we'll talk about later too, that the picture really pays off. Even in 4K, it really pays off. Really looks good. Great detail, like I said. Great use of black levels. Great use of gradations and grays, where I can think of a couple of scenes right off the top of my head right now that I know we'll get to, where the grays and the atmospherics really pay off, give you that sense of 3D. Really enjoyed that. And the sound, it's DTSX. It's incredibly crisp and clean. Soundtrack is awesome. So much music in this movie from the 80s that it really, really nice. And the bass is really deep. Very, very visceral throughout this movie, but not excessive. And when I say that is, I will put this up against Lucy, but Lucy can get excessive. It can get painful. The bass is so loud in that movie. Things rattle in Lucy. This one is way more clean. It's more, I don't know if I'd use the word discreet, but that's what comes to mind. It's very discreet how the bass thumps hit you. And it's very, like I said, very visceral. Feel it in your chest. Feel it in your seat, whether it would be music or, you know, punches or gunshots and ricochets. Very, very nice, clean sound. Really enjoyed this. Really, I mean, let's get that popcorn going so I can get to some of these scenes, because we have a bunch to get to. I think this is the most I've done so far since being on YouTube. And I have a picture for every scene, and there's over 30 of them. So let's get to them, and we'll start. Now that the popcorn is fully popping, we'll start where we always start. At the opening. So the opening scene is really, really cool. The picture you'll see here on YouTube is the lines of resolution that they use while they're typing on the screen. And being in 4K, your screen gets that really nice effect of everything being pixelated, and it really shows off. And the sound is pretty subtle right away, really subdued for this type of a movie. But then when Reagan says, tear down this wall, and by the way, we're still in that pixelated effect. We're still, you get that lines of resolution. It waves across the screen, like I said, like if you were filming a screen. And then the scene shifts, and you get a nice bass thump that you can feel, but the scene shifts to that monochromatic 4K picture without any pixels of the 80s, but it's a blue monochromatic look. And pretty cool opening to a pretty artistic action thriller. That's what I'll call this, an artistic action thriller. But then at 2:40, we get a really nice gunshot here with a great thump to your chest. Crisp, clean, full, even a slight echo as it rings out through your room. Plus, we have all the music with plenty of bass filling the room. Really, really cool, getting you right into this movie. And then at 4:38, blue, I called it blue, more of that monochromatic blue, and it looks really, really good. I mean, really deep, really nice. But what I liked about this particular shot at 4:38 is how the flame from Charlize Theron lighting the photograph on fire really stands out against the blue, cool background. And then as the scene plays, watch how the warmth of the light of the fire that's in her hand, watch how it grows on her face, because the shot will change and you'll get a shot from the front. And it's such a nice contrast for that blue, deep blue background. And when the fire actually starts, when she first lights the photograph, you see it in the mirror in the distance, which is in front of her. But you see it in the distance, and then as the flame grows, it comes up into the shot and it just starts to light the rest of, like, her. So it really, really cool how they did that. And that's why I say it's very artistic. I love all of this movie all the way through, I think, is shot very artistically. And all the while, this is playing over this scene is David Bowie's Cat People. And then at 5:20, we get Gasoline. So Bowie sings the lyrics Gasoline, and you can hear it like a whoosh behind you as the music ramps up. And even more filling the room, if you can imagine that. It's the music was playing. You felt like you were fully engaged. The room's fully engaged. And then all of a sudden, the scene changes and you get that whoosh from behind and your room is filled with the lyric, with the song. Really, really cool. And I also like the contrast of the neon credits against the almost like black and white footage of Charlize Theron walking to the interrogation or debriefing. I guess it was more of a debriefing because she wasn't really being interrogated, but it kind of felt that way. But I think it was more of a debriefing. And then because she was working for them. But then at 8:50 here, we get a use of overheads. And I gave it one box of popcorn, the little red arrow in the show notes telling you that we're using the overheads here. And we're still in the debriefing, interrogation, debriefing, whatever. But pay attention to a really cool sound effect going over your head. And that this is at the 8:50 mark. It's a higher pitch sound effect. It's a sound that bounces a bit back and forth. Like you can hear it going behind you, like back and forth, like bing, bing, bing. Like, but it's not a bing, bing. It's a weird sound effect. You'll know what I mean when you get there. And it goes back and forth, bounces a little bit, but then it also goes from left to right over your head. Definitely take a full advantage of your overhead speakers. And the frame I'm showing on YouTube is at the end of the scene. I just thought it was a cool frame where she's, you know, looking, she's got her head back in the chair and she's spread out. Her arms are spread out to the side of her. Really, really cool scene. But take a look at that overhead. It's a really, really fun scene for being able to take advantage of the DTS:X here and the overhead speakers. And more overhead speakers at 15:24, flyover. And this is Charlize Theron's leaving the airport. And right when we see Sophia Boutella's character, Delphi, in a phone booth, we get a jet flying over us. So you don't see the jet or anything. You just hear it because you're in an airport area. So airport environment. And from the right rear to the middle of the left of the room, going right over your head. Nice, deep jet sounds drowning out Peter Schilling's Major Tom, which sounded fantastic, by the way. But that was another really cool use because, again, your room is being filled with this music and the scene going on. And then that jet just goes overhead and it drowns it out. And Major Tom actually goes away from here. But then at 16:40, we get a car fight And here we get more Major Tom ramping back up as Charlize Theron fights the two guys in a car. It's tons of great bass. Each time she hits somebody, you can feel it. Nice gunshots go off too as the guys are trying to, you know, get shots off. They're trying to shoot her and she's holding the gun and they're fighting back and forth and random gunfires going off inside the car. All very distinct, all very visceral. Like I said, you can feel each of these. And it's a car chase scene too because they're being chased by the Porsche. But really, really cool scene. And then right away at 17 minutes and 40 seconds, we get the flying car. So Charlize Theron gets control of the vehicle. She tosses one guy out and she's fighting with the guy in the front seat. But the only way to end this is to, you know, yank on the wheel and she grabs a seatbelt and puts this thing, this Mercedes, into a Jersey barrier. And then the car comes straight at you and goes up and over you. And as the Mercedes scrapes up over you, you get an awesome bass with the screeching and the glass breaking, but it goes right up and over you and behind you. And then nice bass as the car crashes down as well. Really cool scene. I gave this one also a box of popcorn with the little red arrow pointing up, or triangle. And that's at 1740. All right, moving on. We are at 23 minutes and 35 seconds. This is a cool contrast. I really liked how they did this. It bounces back and forth. We're with the medical examiner here. And when we're looking at Charlize Theron, it's like kind of a green hue to the scene, but there's yellow in the background behind her. But the shot of the ME is really nice because she's got like almost a bluish hue, green hue. The lockers behind her, the dead body lockers or whatever you call them, meat lockers, I don't know. But behind her are kind of a green hue, but to the left of the screen is an orange. You have those glass windows and they're all tinted orange. And I just thought it was a cool look to the scene. Again, very artistic. And then from here, it developed, the shot goes while they're talking. Charlize Theron is in the interrogation room and we're getting the voiceover there, but we get a really nice special effect here as we transition back to the briefing room, because she's saying, did you ever feel like that the movie's moving slow or whatever? But the sound of the film burning actually starts at the front of your room and moves to the back of the room where it fades out, pulling you right into that debriefing room. Really cool scene there. And that plays right from the 23 minutes and 35 second mark of that, where I said the nice contrast. That scene rolls right into that. And it's really, really cool. At 27 minutes and 12 seconds, we get more overhead speaker use here. And I gave this one two boxes of popcorn with the orange triangle pointing for overhead. So Charlize is remembering that her boyfriend, who the guy that got killed at the very beginning with that nice gunshot. And your room, there's a lot of sounds going around your room because I believe she has submerged herself into the tub again, filled with ice, the ice bath. And you feel like you're submerged too, but there's different sounds all around you, other voices, phone ringing. And oh, let me change the picture here. There we go. Change the picture on YouTube. Sorry about that. And you'll see on YouTube what I'm talking about. So anyways, yeah, the other voices, the phone ringing, all these other people are talking, but all these different ambient sounds are spread around you, but her voice and his voice, they're having a conversation that's going on nice, deep and loud with an echo. And it's coming from right over you and it's filling your room. It's like, like I said, there's an echo. You could hear it deeply over you, but it's actually spreading out throughout the room. And then it's a dream sequence. So she's woken up with a really loud, deep gunshot. Just a lot of fun where they fully envelop the effect of DTSX here, really using the overheads here and then really punching you with that bass to end this scene. Really, really cool. Next scene, two boxes of popcorn, and we get at 31 minutes and 4 seconds, Rubber Hose it's a great fight scene. Charlize Theron beats a bunch of cops with a rubber hose. Joke, insert joke here. Make her escape to the tune of George Michael's Father Figure. Another great song. And she cranks it up to disguise herself where she is in the room. So we get the full effect of this song. Great bass. Great sounds all over the place here. And again, great bass from the song, of course. But then she's whipping the cops. So you get the sounds of that. You get the nice bass and the punches. You get refrigerator doors. She uses a refrigerator door to hit somebody. Nice pan there. Really quick pan. Cops landing when being thrown. There's one effect where she takes the cop. The scene changes. And when in the middle of the flipping of the scene on the screen, she throws the cop, but now the sound, the thump from the cop landing is behind you on the left-hand side. Really, really cool. Really deep. Really nice. But it really, you'll get the thump right on the left-hand side, left rear. It's a really, easy for me to say, really great sequence made more dynamic with the music, of course. Really cool. Now that here's a really quick scene, still in that beating up the cops with the rubber hose, we get a Wilhelm scream. Cop gets he gets used as a weight ballast because she's about to jump out the window, and she hooks him around the neck and she runs for the window. And when she jumps out, we get that Wilhelm scream as the cop gets, you know, yanked by the neck. Really cool. And that's at 32 minutes even. We'll get that Wilhelm scream. Pretty cool. I always like to point out those Wilhelm screams. At 32 minutes and 45 seconds, we get the magazine. To end this entire scene, she's now jumped down with the hose. She's on the ground. Now she has two more cops to take care of. She beats up the cops, doesn't kill them, beats up the cops, takes the gun, and she ejects the magazine from one of the guns, and she throws it to the left as she's walking off, and you can hear it at the appropriate distance away. You can hear the magazine hit the ground and bounce a few times. Very small, very detailed, but you know those are my favorite kinds of scenes. That was really cool. And then at 38 minutes and 52 seconds, Red. I just love this, the detail in the scene. Charlize Theron, she's at a bar here, and it's bright red lighting. You can't miss it. But the detail in her hair, and if you're looking on YouTube, you could see it's so crystal clear. Even the picture that I took with my iPhone while I'm making these, you know, while I'm doing my review, the softness of her skin and the blackness of the mascara around her eyes. The particular shot I have up on YouTube is at the exact timestamp. But the contrast of her detailed face against the blurred black background in this particular shot, it, like I said, the shot I'm looking at right now here on that I'm putting up on YouTube, very dramatic, very nice. And even if you look closely, you probably can't see it on YouTube, but if you're looking on your television or your big screen, you can see that one strand of hair coming down on the left side of her face. So that'd be the backside that we're looking at. This one strand of hair sticking out. It's just really, really beautiful scene of a beautiful woman. I mean, she is just awesome looking in this movie. And she gets beat up. So she goes full. What was she was in Monster, right? And she was pretty banged up in that movie too. She's an amazing actress. The transformations she can make, and we'll get to a transformation in a few minutes that she undertakes in this movie. At 40 minutes and 31 seconds, watches and clocks. Lots of cool ambient sounds here around your room as Charlize Theron picks up the watch, which that plays later. And we find out later that the watchmaker here is a CIA agent. Again, playing out later. Lots of little things you didn't know as the movie was going along. But this is a relatively quiet scene, and it's made really cool with the sounds of the clocks ticking all around your room. And then the music moves us into the next scene. And it starts at the back of your room and then moves to fill the room. It really, really cool. It's like just as this scene transitions, it's we're filled, the room fills in, but it was cool how it did it from the back of the room. I really like that. Then at 44 minutes and 7 seconds, we're in a movie theater. And this is a really cool use of the sound of the movie theater speakers. So when you're in a movie theater like this back in the 80s, all the sound's probably coming from the front of the room, the theater that she happens to be in here. It's all coming from the front of the theater. But all of the shots in this scene are you looking at her, looking at the screen, but it's off to a side, whether you're off to the, as I'm showing right here, you're off to her, well, what that would be off to her left. And so the sound would be coming from the left side of your room. So that's where the sound from the theater is coming from. Very loudly, by the way. And then the scenes shift to the right side, and now the sounds are coming from the right side of the room. And it, as the scene plays out, the sound from the front of the theater is always bouncing appropriately around your room. And the volume's not, it's very loud. It's not like ambient type sounds. It's very loud, like she's in a loud movie theater. Really, really cool scene. One of the scenes that makes having a 5.1 surround so much fun. I mean, going back to when we only had 5.1, if that's all that was available, this scene would play really well on that. And they took full advantage of that here. It's really, really well done. Really like that. And then at 52 minutes and 22 seconds, the hallway shot. I love this shot. I mean, this is, you've seen this shot on all social media, on advertisement for this movie. It's the hallway shot, the red, the blue. It's Charlize Theron and Sophia standing in the hallway here. But they're small. They're in the middle, but then the full length plays out of the aspect ratio here. And this is where this aspect ratio really pays off. Compared to what we're going to be getting, or actually, I'm sorry, as you're hearing this, what we got yesterday with the Snyder Cut. So this aspect ratio, we have blues on the outside. We have, as we work in, we get a nice sharp line between the blues and the reds. Tons of graffiti, highlights, you know, black lights highlighting the blue walls at the sides of the screen here. Lots to look at, lots to take in, even just in a still shot. There's so much to take in here. This is where one of the grays, the contrast in colors that I liked here, the contrast between the grays and the blacks and the highlights, just really nice composition. It's a very, very artistic scene here. Graffiti, just check out all the graffiti on the walls as this scene's playing out. It's one of those screenshots that you can just watch over and over. It's so dynamic, so well done. Really check out that scene. Really enjoyed that scene. From there, we move to 55 minutes and 19 seconds. Message received. And I gave this one 2 boxes of popcorn. It's a really cool transition. So Charlize Theron, we're back in the debriefing room. And they need to shift back to the story here where she's telling the story of what has happened to her, and they need to shift that back. But if you look on YouTube, you'll see you could see her twice, and that's how they shifted this scene. So they had her play in it, you know, in the background. She came in and they blended it in so nicely. But what is really cool is they used the sound to blend this scene as well. And that's why I gave it 2 boxes of popcorn, because it's one thing to meld this in, because she, you know, you have her sitting in front of a green screen and you can play this out behind her and you can wash it in from left to right, or from right to left. I'm sorry. She's walking behind her from the right side of your screen to the left of your screen. And that's easy to do. But what they do is they actually have the sound of the scene that you're going to. So you're in the debriefing room, but now you're going to go back to Berlin and her walking down the sidewalk. She's walking down the sidewalk from the right side of your room to the left side of your room. But on the right side of your room, you're in the sound for the room, the debriefing room. The left side of your room is the sound that she's going to in Berlin. And then they meet in the middle and it transitions perfectly. You've got to see it. You got to see it and see what I'm talking about. The visuals transition seamlessly. I can't even get the words out. This is so much fun. But then the sound transitions seamlessly. It's a lot of fun. You got to check that out. And it goes right to this scene where she's walking in front of all this graffiti. And so you go back and forth between the interrogation slash debriefing room into the sidewalk scene where it has tons of color. So this is one of those contrasts that I really enjoyed. So I guess this is a good time to point out the contrast of this. So the debriefing room is pretty much black and white. All right. All the way through the debriefing room is black and white throughout this movie. It's not black and white, but it's so monochromatic. It feels that way. Right. But then when we get into the rest of the movie, we get tons of color. We get tons of neon. We get tons of everything. It's way more vibrant, way more lifelike. And in this particular scene that we're talking about here, she comes in from the, you know, monochromatic debriefing room to all of this graffiti. Really nice. And that transition makes it so much fun. Even if you look at this particular scene here that I have up, it's at 55:29. You look closely, you can see there's even a guy with a bright red mohawk haircut in the bottom right side of the screen. And all of this just pops off. But if you go back to the debriefing room, it's just so flat. And except when they go behind the glass and they show the guy monitoring the debriefing room, you'll be able to see the bright red lights. Those pop, but the rest of the debriefing room, pretty much monochromatic, played down, very much almost black and white. Pretty cool. Really, really. And that's throughout the movie. And I thought that brought an extra sense of depth to the movie. So like when you went in, I found myself more drawn into the movie because of that. So when you went into those scenes where she's sitting at the table smoking, which I also thought that was fantastic too. All of the scenes where she's smoking, there was such detail in the smoke being used around the room. We're actually going to get to that in a second too. But let's move along. We have plenty more to get to. All right. Snowflakes at 56 minutes and 50 seconds. So here we're overlooking the Berlin Wall with a meeting of Charlize Theron and John Goodman. Another great shot of Charlize here. That's what I have up on YouTube. And it great detail and great contrast. And the contrast is between Charlize and John Goodman. So you get her soft face, but the detail of her hair, but then you go back to all of the detail in John Goodman's, he's got his beard, he's got his weathered, aged face, and the contrast, but going back and forth between the two of them is so nice. It really shows off how great she looks. And there's no filter either because her skin is nice and soft. But if there was a filter, you couldn't make out those snowflakes that are in her hair. It's like almost perfect. And then at the end of this scene, they're up on a platform again, overlooking the Berlin Wall again, 56 minutes, 50 seconds. But at the end of this scene, John Goodman walks off the platform to the right of the screen and his voice follows perfectly. And not only does it follow perfectly, we don't lose any volume. It's really, really cool. Just watch it. It just follows. And I felt like my memory right now feels like it even went down, like as he goes down the stairs. It's really, really cool. And again, so many details to this movie. And it's so much fun to watch throughout. It really is. I mean, it's a movie you can jump around because it's got some great scenes that I'm trying to point out, but it's a movie I thought was very detailed and a lot of fun to go through. I had a hard time jumping to the next scene because I kept getting absorbed back into the movie when I was trying to just review these particular scenes. So, all right, let's move along though. At 1 hour, 8 minutes and 4 seconds, Smoke. So this is that transition, or this is that smoke scene I mentioned a few minutes ago, but it's another great transition. So the scene shifts from the debriefing, but we're going back to Berlin again. But this time, Charlize exhales the cigarette smoke right at the camera. So we get the sound of that coming right at us, like right in our face. And it moves from the front of the room really quickly, just like right into the room. But then the scene gradually, the scene on the screen morphs into a shot of Berlin looking down from the sky through the clouds. And then that smoke that was just blown at you morphs into those clouds. And there was a really cool 3D effect here because they started to shift, like the camera, as you're looking down, started to slide. I believe the camera slid to the right. So like the ground was in position, but now you're looking through the clouds. I'm not doing a good job describing it, but when you see it, it had a really nice 3D effect that, you know, with the 4K and the HDR, it really is going to pull that out even more. I have to imagine this is better than a 1080p version. Very engaging scene. But the sound as well sweeps around the room as the scene shifts. It's really cool. It sweeps. If you're moving from left to right or right to left, the sound is moving with you. Some nice whooshes that go along with this scene. Really, really cool. And a really nice artistic transition. And I gave this one 2 boxes of popcorn. All right. 1 hour, 9 minutes, 27 seconds. Umbrellas. So Charlize is trying to get to the West with the package, who's Eddie Marsden, Spyglass. That's the package. He's the package. But we know him, or I know him, as Terry Donovan from Ray Donovan. And what a great actor, because I think when we were in the theater, this is the first time my wife and I had seen him in anything else other than Ray Donovan. And he didn't have his Boston accent, and me being, you know, us being from Boston, we, you know, watching Ray Donovan, we love the overdone Boston accent, which I guess it's not overdone. It was fairly accurate, and he's doing that, but we thought he was at least American. And then you find out is he British or from Ireland? I can't remember where he's actually from, but he's not American. That's for sure. And then in this movie, you know, does another great job with the accent. But anyways, here they're marching down the street, and then the whistle blows, and they all have to put up their umbrellas. And it's a really quick scene, but all the umbrellas go up, and it's like you're in the middle of the street, and all the umbrella, your entire room is enveloped with umbrella noises going up all around you. It's really quick. It's a lot of fun. Really, that's a fun one to check out. I wouldn't mind jumping to that and showing somebody. At 1 minute, 10 seconds. Yeah, 1 hour, 10 seconds, 37 minutes to 1 hour, 20 minutes and 20 seconds. The first shot I have up here on YouTube is the beginning of this. And that's at 1 hour, 10 minutes and 37 seconds, roughly. And then the next shot that I'm showing is the end. And that's at the 1 hour, 20 minutes and 20 seconds. Crazy. This is so well done. And don't blink. Do not blink. You have 10 minutes to hold your eyes open, okay? 10 minutes, because think of 1917, where they tried to film that movie and make it a one-shot deal. And I learned a lot from watching the extras and listening to the audio commentary with the director and talking about where they did the washes. And it was like, woo! And it's like, that's where they changed the scene. So this scene here, of course, it's got those washes in it, but it's so well done. It's a 10-minute long fight scene that starts in the street, and it's, like I said, starts at the 1 hour, 10-minute, 37-second mark when Charlize says, "Stay low." And that's at the last cut scene that we get until the 1 hour, 20-second mark, when a car flips over and that you're inside the car with Charlize Theron and with Terry, what's his name, Eddie Marsden. You're in the car with them, with her and Spyglass, and they cut away to show you the car flipping over. But everything in between there is fights. She goes up and down some stairs. She's getting, you know, she's punching them. They're punching her. Gunshots are going off. She beats up like two or three guys, and she comes down the stairs, and then she runs into that, to Eddie Marsan on the stairs, and he goes, two more. And now there's two more coming down the hall. But all the while, all of this fighting's going on. She's getting beaten, and her face and her body is just taking a beating. And you could see the toll being taken on her as this 10-minute long fight scene plays out without a single apparent cut. Now, all the cuts are done where they get close in on her in the, or close in on the fight, and the scene will go black. But it's meant to be, I mean, so well done, so artistic that it feels like it's one long 10-minute shot, and it goes right back out on the street, starts on the street. She fights the guys in the building, goes up the stairs, down the stairs, comes back out into the street, gets in a car, and then the fight, the camera stays with them, pans back and forth inside the cars. Tons of great sounds throughout this scene. It's an absolutely crazy scene. So well done. So well done. I thought there's one like this in almost all the seasons of Daredevils. And I think their longest one was 6 minutes, where they kind of did the same thing. This one's 10 minutes long. And I think the Daredevil one, though, that 6 minutes actually does have zero cuts. There's no blends either. It's just straight through. But this one looks really well, really good, really good. And I mean, like I said, don't blink or you'll miss it. And it ends with them in the car, and it's, and I, that's the picture I have up on YouTube, and it's amazing how they did it. Like I said, don't blink. Moving along, though. Whew, that was a good scene. I almost talked as long as the scene was. At 1 hour, 21 minutes, and 6 seconds, we're underwater, and this is the same car chase scene now, and they go off of a pier into the water, and their car is sinking underwater, and the sounds when you're under the water, it's like your room is that car, and your whole room is engulfed with the water. You're in the, it's very, very surreal. You're feeling like it. And at the beginning of the scene, when they first hit the water, you're really getting that sense, that jump back and forth between like air where you can hear better above the water. And then you go back under the water and they come back up until the car is completely submerged. Then you're really dealing with it. Your entire room, all the speakers are being engaged to give you this sound. Really cool. And then you jump from there, you jump to 1 hour, 36 minutes and 7 seconds. And it's I blanking love Berlin. And that's James McAvoy's, for all intents, almost his last words. He yells that out. And then Charlize Theron shoots him with a nice, loud, distinct gunshot that you can feel in your chest. And then it, as you feel that, it rings off to the sides, echoes off to the sides. And you can hear the shell casing land in front of you. It's at the front of the room. And that's important because that's where Charlize Theron is. She's kind of centered off on your screen, maybe slightly to the left of the screen, but the shell comes out, you know, is ejected out of the gun, lands on the ground, and you can hear that rattling around in front of you. Well, then you jump to 1 minute, 38 minutes and 25 seconds. And now we get James McAvoy's actual last words, which are well played. And now, just like the last one, really loud, really distinct. You can feel the gunshot in your chest. But the sound of the cartridge is ejected over to the left. And you can hear that cartridge bouncing over to the left of your room. Really cool. Same exact gunshot, same feel, but that metallic sound of the shell casing bouncing off in the distance is on the left side of the room. Really cool. Really, really well played. See what I did there? All right, moving along. Ventilation. This one is awesome. I really like this one. This is so subtle. You'll probably need to turn this up to reference level to hear it. But we're back in the debriefing room, and you can hear that they've just turned off the recording devices, and it's really quiet. You know, that we're wrapping up the movie here, and they figured out they can't get any more out of her, so they turn off the recording devices. But now, pay attention very closely. You can hear the ventilation system blowing air. It's very diffuse, but it's over your head. And it's so subtle, it's there. But it sounds like there's air blowing in over your head. It's really cool. At lower volumes, you're probably not getting that. I don't think. So turn, at least on this scene here, even if, you know, you're not allowed to, quote unquote, turn up the movie, turn this up. Just, it's at 1 hour, 41 minutes and 7 seconds. Turn it up just for a few seconds. And I think you actually have a few minutes, like maybe a minute of quiet here, but turn it up and listen to that ventilation noise. It's so cool. So cool. But we're not done yet. Not done yet, not by a long shot. Well, we have one more scene. It's a good one. At 1 hour, 44 minutes and 30 seconds, we have the final fight. It starts out with slow motion sound with, you know, that whatever. But she's grabbing the gun inside the ice bucket. But it moves very quickly, moves to tons of gunfire, bullets being shot, being fired. But then they're hitting behind you. They're, you know, being shot on one side of the room or at the front of the room. And then they're landing on the back side of the room. I mean, tons of stuff going on. And then in the middle of it, she's grabbing people and the sounds and the motion on the screen go back to slow motion. You get some nice pans there. And I'm pretty sure at the end of this scene is where we get the first time we hear her with an American accent. And that's the giveaway here, where you find out that this is the beginning of the giveaway, where we find out she's actually a CIA agent. Spoilers, but we're in spoilers, so that's cool. And we get the full reveal here. So that's what's, I really like that in this final fight scene, because it's very, if you're not paying attention, especially the first time you see it, I mean, you get back into a nice fight scene and it really grabs you. But pay attention at the very end of the fight when she's talking to the guy just before she kills him. And she's like, I never did this for you. I wasn't doing it. I was doing it for me. And if you listen to her voice, she's lost her accent, her whatever accent she was doing. But now she has the American accent. So really cool. And then from there we go to Queen's Pressure, and it sounds awesome. And this is where we get the full reveal, where she gets on the plane and she meets John Goodman, who she's working with. And then he says the line that she said at the beginning of the movie, and he goes, oh, really? And she goes, I thought it would sell it, or whatever she said. But really, really cool. I love this movie. It really is a suspense thriller. It's a better story than John Wick. I think it's more artistically done than John Wick. But that's nothing against John Wick. I absolutely love the John Wick movies. I think the John Wick movies, probably from beginning to end, they have more engaging sound, because it's just the nature of the movie. There's just a lot more killing going on in that movie. But this movie here, it's eye candy for the guys, for one, no doubt about that. But it's tons of home theater stuff for us. There's so much to absorb in this movie, both with the story and with the home theater environment. It's definitely worth multiple viewings on both fronts. To me, it's a must own. And that'll wrap it up for this week. That was a very busy week. We talked about a lot of stuff this week. Long podcast. But thank you to everybody. Thank you for listening. If you stuck it out this long, I appreciate it. It's not a 3-hour podcast, but here we go. Yeah, they're getting there. Hopefully it was entertaining the whole way. And on Patreon, thank you to Craig C. for becoming a new patron. And thank you to all 12 of my patrons. Really appreciate it. And on Twitter, thank you to Deciphered13, ChannelBox25, DTSFile, Bantu Doug, Ray Smith, Alex San, and You Want the 4K. Thank you for joining on Twitter. I appreciate all the comments, building this community, having a lot of fun doing so. So that'll do it for this week. Next week, I believe I'm coming in with Godzilla. I think I'm doing my double feature next week. So we'll see you then. And until then, go push play.
Hey, Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.